طيب السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين آمين يا رب العالمين. So welcome dear brothers and sisters to part 2 of our Halaqa series, The Best of Manners, an explanation of Dr. Amir Bahjat's poem on manners. طيب بسم الله. Before we get started, let's do some review. Okay, so if you guys remember, we talked about the forgetting curve. It's been 2 weeks. We had a week off. So I'm assuming everything's gone back to zero. So we need to do some review. Quick review, بإذن الله. طبعاً, I have some حسن الظن that some of you did actually review. Let's start with you guys, inshallah. So let's start about, what did we talk about last halaqa? It's been 2 weeks. We talked about al-adab and al-akhlaq. What did we say are the difference between them? Anybody remember? ما الفرق between al-adab wal-akhlaq? Who remembers? Yeah, تفضل محمد.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so yeah, almost exactly what we said. We said adab, so akhlaq are your natural characteristics, okay, of your personality that you have, that you're born with, and the ones that you work on and you adapt. And we said the adab is how you apply those in different situations. How you apply those in different situations, like adab in the masjid, adab with the Quran, adab with your parents, adab with Allah, adab with the Prophet ﷺ. So that's kind of the definition that we gave, the difference between them. So, because people usually get confused between them. طيب, give me something from the, I guess, from the benefits of having good akhlaq, or some of the virtues of having good akhlaq. Who can tell me? We mentioned like six or more. Ah. نعم, محمد. نعم, تفضل. Naam, so we said that from the heaviest things on the Day of Judgment, from the heaviest deeds on the Day of Judgment are good akhlaq. Having good akhlaq is very heavy on the scale. And we said that the person who has good akhlaq can reach the level of the sa'im qa'im, the one who fasts the day and prays the night voluntarily, not the wajib, the voluntary ones. So they can reach a very high level, the person who has good akhlaq. What else? من يذكر. Remember the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I guarantee a house for the one who has good manners in the highest place in Jannah. So subhanAllah, there's so many of virtues of good akhlaq. طيب, so we went through that last time, and we said that today, بإذن الله, we were gonna start with the poem, and I challenged you guys to memorize it. Just curious, who memorized the first lines that we're supposed to do today? Nobody put the effort. Huh? Nobody wants that importance card? We'll see. We still have 2 weeks. Tamam? And I highly encourage you to memorize it. And I'll tell you why. This is not just something just for the fun of it. Remember what we said, if you memorize something, it will stay with you. So if you memorize something and you learn what it means, yani it will stay with you and you'll be able to apply it in your day-to-day life. Tamam? So al-hifz has its place. Al-hifz has its place, and it's really it's only 29 lines. And by the way, I forgot to mention, if you just Google this or you put it on YouTube, you'll find many different people who are reciting it. Like some of them, different voices. Some of them have it on repeat, so you can actually memorize it. So yani there's lots of avenues. Put it in your car, listen to it. بإذن الله, you can do that. So let's start with the poem. So, طبعاً, last week we did the introduction to the topic of good manners and good character. Today, بإذن الله, we're going to start the poem that you have in front of you. Everybody should, everyone should have a copy of it, of the poem. If you don't, there should be a pile somewhere here. And if you want the digital version, So inshallah today we'll be doing lines 1 to 8. Lines 1 to 8. If you need the digital version, it's right there. You can just scan the QR code and you'll have it there with you. Those of Ahlul tablets, people who like to use tablets, inshallah. طيب, جميل. طيب, let's start. I'm going to ask our brother Muhammad, inshallah, to recite. If you can, Muhammad, recite the first 8 lines, and if everybody can follow, bi'idhnillah, we can start, inshallah.
Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, illadhi qad wahaba, ibadahul muqarrabin al-adaba, thumma assalatu bis-salami taltaqi, ala nabiyyina azimil khuluqi. وبعدها كأحسن الأخلاق يرقى بها صاحبها المراقي فأولا راعي مع الله الأدب بترك الإثم وبفعل ما وجب وحسن ظن وتوكل رجا حب وتوحيد ومن خاف نجا
وقر
نبيه وعظم سنته قدم على كل الورى محبته وبر والديك ولتطعهما تفز وصل أيا بني الرحمة.
One more. بجل
كبيرا وارحم الصغيرا وساعد الضعيف والفقيرا.
بارك الله فيك محمد. طيب, so inshallah today we want to cover these 8 lines. طبعا the book that you have in front of you, I did not make this. This is one of the students of the Sheikh, Sheikh Amir Bahjat's students, Fahd Al-Hanbali. And so he's the one who translated this. And يعني, he has some side notes. The translation is pretty good. يعني, sometimes we might comment on some of them. Maybe it's not the best choice of words, but tabarakallah, barakallah, may Allah reward him for doing that. طيب. Let's start. So we start with the first line. Alhamdulillahi alladhi qad wahaba. So of course, from the tradition, from the sunnah, is whenever you start something, you start with alhamd. With alhamd. So we start with alhamd. Alhamdulillahi, all hamd, inshallah, we'll explain what that is. Alhamdulillahi alladhi qad wahaba. Just a disclaimer, inshallah, I'll try, what we'll do is we'll kind of just go through the line, inshallah, just kind of make sure we understand what the wording says, and then inshallah we'll talk about some of the hadith and ayat that are related to it. So he says, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah, alladhi qad wahaba, the one who qad wahaba. What's al-hiba? Anybody know what al-hiba is? Hiba? Huh? Not your cousin. Hiba has a meaning. A gift. Ahsant. Barakallahu fik. Al-hiba is a gift. Tamam? Mithl atiyya. Very close. Okay? But it's a gift that for no exchange, yani for no price or whatever. So al-hiba is a gift. So Allah the poet here is saying that all praise is to Allah who alladhi qad wahaba. He gave as a gift. Gave what? He says, عِبَادَهُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ الْأَدَبَ. Okay? He gave al-adab, which is good etiquette, good akhlaq, to who? عِبَادَهُ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. طبعاً, one thing to notice here, for those of you who are maybe beginners in Arabic or maybe intermediate, you'll notice that poetry is not the easiest, it's not the thing you start with. Because in poetry, they always, they play around with the order of the words. So sometimes you'll find the subject way at the end and the object before, and they mix it up a lot. So so it might not match sometimes with the translation. So here he's saying, Alhamdulillah alladhi qad wahaba ibadahu al-muqarrabin al-adaba. So all praises to Allah who has bestowed the etiquettes upon his close servants. Al-ibad are servants or slaves. Slaves may be a better translation. Al-muqarrabin are the close ones. Al-qarib, someone who's close. Al-muqarrabina, ibadahu al-muqarrabina al-adaba. Tayyib. So first of all, we see here that the author is saying that good akhlaq, good manners, are a hibah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a gift that deserves thanks, shukr. Okay? And the poet, he started with al-hamd. Taban, al-hamd Alhamd, they say, al-shukr wa-thana, like being grateful. So alhamd is not just being grateful. Alhamd is being grateful, and also it has the meaning of praise. Okay, so you're praising and you're being grateful, and it's coupled with love. It's coupled with love. So from the definitions of alhamd is praise coupled with love and glorification. And glorification. And one of the most amazing things about the word alhamd, it's not a verb, right? It's a noun. It's an ism, yani, in the Arabic language. That means it gives it the meaning of eternity. Yani, it's always happening. Yani, alhamd, praise and thanks is to Allah all the time. Before, now, after. And everything is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ صحيح. And everything is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. But we don't understand their tasbih. So alhamd, again, is praise. So because sometimes someone can have, يعني, you might praise someone and thank them, but inside you don't like that person. Because you have to. Maybe it's your boss. You say, you know, you're grateful to them and you praise them. Oh, you're so amazing. You know, thank you so much. But inside, like you hate their guts. Okay, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, alhamd, it's praise. Okay, you praise Allah with all His amazing names, okay, and attributes. And you're grateful, okay, and that's coupled with love. So that's alhamd. So alhamdulillah all the time. Last time we talked about how good character is attained. So here the author says that, he starts by saying that it's something that is given to a person. And remember we said that al-akhlaq, there's something that you are born with, naturally born with. You're naturally halim, okay? You can withstand anybody. You don't get angry fast. Or you're naturally always smiling. Some people just naturally smile. It's very easy for them to smile. And for some people, smiling is very difficult. Yani, their mouth is like frozen. They have to put a lot of effort. Tamam? So the first part of it is something that's innate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, gifted or created this person with these akhlaq. Okay, others are akhlaq that we have to acquire. Okay, we have to acquire them. And they take effort. And you have to struggle with them. And remember we mentioned the hadith, who remembers it? We said the hadith, innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. Right? وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ وَالتَّحَلُّمُ. This is the hadith that we mentioned last time, even though it has some weakness in their narration. But the meaning is right, that ilm, okay, being able to acquire knowledge is by going and seeking it. It doesn't just come to you. And al-hilm, getting hilm, getting that attribute of forbearance, that very high level of sabr, okay, is something that you have to practice. Tamam? It's something that you have to practice. So al-akhlaq, we said, some people are born with them, okay? And just because you're born with something, it doesn't mean you cannot improve it. Because in every khuluq that you can talk about, there's different levels. You know, the sabr of the speaker is not like the sabr of Ayyub alayhi salam, right? The hilm of, your parents are not like maybe the hilm of your neighbors. So they all can be something that can be improved and acquired. So alhamdulillah alladhi qad wahaba ibadahu al-muqarrabin. So then he talks about ibadahu al-muqarrabin. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts ibadahu al-muqarrabin. Taban ibad, here it says servant. Maybe a better translation would be a slave of Allah. Some people are not very comfortable with that word, slave. But when we talk about the word abd in the Quran and the Sunnah, it has absolutely nothing to do with what we are accustomed to. Especially those of you who studied the history of slavery, and it's a very dark history of human history. Like when you talk about abd in this life, and believe it or not, there are still countries that have ibad, and they have actually slaves. And there is no lower status than a slave. صح? Is there something lower than that? Anybody know here a lower status than a slave? Mafi. Is there something lower? You were going to say something? No. So that's the lowest that a person can be. Because aslan, you don't even own yourself, let alone owning anything. And so that's the lowest of the lowest. Lakin, so when you're a slave of a creation, of a person, you are the lowest of the lowest. Lakin, when you are a slave of the Most High, that raises you. when you are the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's actually something that elevates the person. That elevates the person. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the prophets in the Quran, He gives them that attribute. Okay? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Nuh, إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ, his slave. Tamam? So this is actually something of an honor. And why is it an honor? Because it's, you know, sometimes the laqab or the name that you give yourself, how good or bad is it, is related to who it's related to. What does that mean? Yeah, so someone might say, I work with, I work at a, where do you work? I work at a gas station down the street. Okay, mashallah, good for you. Somebody else will say, I work with Aramco. I'm an employee at Aramco. He could be a janitor, but just because it's Aramco, for those of you who don't know, I think it's the biggest company in the world, or one of the biggest. Tamam. So just because he's related, yani he's relating himself to it, it raises him. Even if he's a janitor. Sah? Here, when we say وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, just because now you are the abd of Ar-Rahman, it raises you to a very high status. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. And so in the end of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts talking about His ibad, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so He says, and the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true servants of the most compassionate of Ar-Rahman, are those who walk on the earth hawna, humbly. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing that His true ibad are those who have good akhlaq, are those who have good manners. When they walk on the earth, yamshun al-ardi hawna, with humbleness. They're not arrogant. They're not putting people down. Tamam? وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And when the ignorant try to speak with them or attack them, okay, they say salam, peace. Yeah, they don't reply with something worse. They don't attack them. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And of course, there's more attributes that are mentioned. But this ayah gives us an indication that the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who have good akhlaq, who have good akhlaq. And طبعاً, يعني, from my most favorite lines of poetry by Al-Qadi Iyad, explaining يعني, how, يعني, what it means to be an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Al-Qadi Iyad, he says, وَمِمَّا زَادَنِي شَرَفًا وَعِزَّةً. From the things that most increased me in honor and in pride. يعني, Al-Qadi Iyad, one of the greatest scholars in history, he's saying that the most thing that has increased me in honor and pride, okay? وَكِدْتُ بِأَخْمُصِ أَطَأُ الثُّرَيَّةِ. He says, this thing gives me so much pride that I feel like I'm stepping on top of the highest star in the sky. Yani, how much pride I have. Okay? So what is giving you all this pride? He says, دُخُولِي تَحْتَ قَوْلِكَ يَا عِبَادِي. Just the fact that I'm included in the phrase Ya Ibadi, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ya Ibadi, that's enough for me to give me izza and sharaf. Wa an sayyarta Ahmad al-Nabiyya, and that you made Ahmad, the other name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a prophet for me. Dukhuli tahta qawlika ya ibadi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks to His servants in the hadith Qudsi, Ya Ibadi, O my slaves, the ayah in Surah Az-Zumar, some of the ulama said arja ayah fil Quran. يعني the ayah that has the most hope in the Quran. Anybody know which one it is? Huh? قل huh? نعم نعم أحسنتي. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Some of the ulama said that this ayah has أرجى آية في القرآن. The ayah that has the most hope. Why? Because it says, it's talking about all the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the slaves of Allah. الذين أسرفوا. Al-Israf is like, you didn't sin once, twice, you've crossed the limit. يعني خلاص, you've done everything that's possible. Okay, لا تقنطوا, don't despair from the mercy of Allah. طيب, جميل. طيب, we move to the next line. So, then he says, the poet, he says, ثم الصلاة بالسلام تلتقي على نبينا عظيم الخلق. Okay, and so usually when you want to give a talk or a speech, from the adab of speaking or writing something is first praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the second thing? is to praise, send salam and salah wa salam ala nabi. So he says, ثُمَّ الصَّلَاةُ بِالسَّلَامِ تَلْتَقِي. Then may the peace and the blessings, okay, gather upon our Prophet of great manners. عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا عَظِيم الْخُلُقِ. Okay. So obviously, as-salah wa salam. This is something that we hear all the time. But unfortunately, sometimes we say it so much, but we don't know what it means. I remember when, you know, when I heard it, when I used to hear it a lot, when I was starting to come to the masjid, and I'm trying to translate it, it doesn't make sense. How do you, as-salah, you pray upon the Prophet, but what we have to understand is that as-salah doesn't, the technical meaning is the prayer that we just prayed. Lakin linguistically, what is as-salah? Linguistically. Ad-du'a, na'am, ad-du'a. So it's to actually make du'a, okay, for someone. Okay, so here, as-salatu was-salam, as-salah, as Ibn Abbas said, طبعاً, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His blessings upon the Prophet and His angels pray for him. All believers invoke Allah's blessings upon him and salute him with the worthy greetings of peace. Okay, so this is a command, the amr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And so when we hear the name of the Prophet, what should we say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And especially on Friday, especially on the day of Friday. طيب, so he says, ثُمَّ الصَّلَاةُ بِالسَّلَامِ تَلْتَقِي. So what is as-salatu wa-salam? Ibn Abbas, he says, as-salatu ala nabi. Ibn Abbas is to send, the salah means to send the blessings, meaning to supplicate for him. It's basically making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Out of love for him, okay, we've been commanded to make, always to make dua for him. So when someone says as-salah ala nabi, what does it mean? It's to make dua for the Prophet. It's to make dua for him to be blessed. So you're basically asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's as-salam? As-salam basically is also a dua, but for his protection. So Ibn Abbas says as-salam means may you be safe and secure from any blemishes or defects or whatever it is. Okay, so basically making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be protected and secure. Tamam. So this is what as-salah wa salam means. So thumma as-salatu bis-salami taltaqi ala nabiyyina 'azim al-khuluqi. Where did the author get this line? Ala nabiyyina عظيم الخلق. This is related to an ayah that we covered last week. من يذكر؟ نعم سورة القلم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صح. This is the ayah that we mentioned last time. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. That you, O Prophet, are indeed upon great character, moral character. تمام. So the author here, he took it, اقتبسها, as they say, from سورة القلم. طيب. Regarding the salah and the salam, there's some important things that we have to always remind ourselves about the salah and the salam. And it's something serious because the Prophet ﷺ one time, and you all know the hadith. I don't know why the font looks so weird. But one time, the Prophet ﷺ was climbing the minbar. صح? He was climbing the minbar. And he was saying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Right? He said it three times. And so the Sahaba asked him, after they said, O Prophet of Allah, why are you saying Ameen? Why did you say Ameen? So he says, Jibril came to me. Okay, Jibril came to me, and then he said, may the man, the first one, he says, Raghima anf imri'in, okay, dhukirtu indah. So may the person who hears my name mentioned and doesn't send salah and salam upon me, may he be, here it says, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئِنْ, may he be embarrassed, may he be humiliated. Maybe that's a good translation. رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئِنْ, put down, الأنف is your nose, okay? And the Arabs would say, to kind of embarrass someone, or for someone to be humiliated is when his nose is on the floor. صح? None of us here would put their nose on the floor except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's a sign of humiliation. Tamam? So he says, Prophet says, may he be humiliated. Basically the meaning, the one who hears my name and doesn't send salah and salam. Okay? And so when we hear the name of the Prophet, we should always say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. also, not just that, but there's also a reward for someone, for the person who says, who sends salah and salam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man salla alayhi sallallahu alayhi biha ashar," right? That the one who sends the peace and blessings upon me, he will be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send 10 back to him. Yani you send the salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you make dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 back to you, subhanallah. Yani why would you be bakhil? Yani why would you be cheap on yourself and not do that? Okay, so whenever we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, we should say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب جميل. And of course we said وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are upon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you are truly a man of outstanding character. And it makes perfect sense. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last messenger, okay, the last messenger, and he is supposed to be a role model for people. And so it makes perfect sense that he has the best of akhlaq. And we said that, subhanAllah, the Arab were actually people of good akhlaq. They had good akhlaq. If you look at the history of the Arab, they had good akhlaq. But they were missing a lot of things. They were missing a lot of things. And of course, at-tawheed was not there. And remember, we said that our deen is compromised of two things. And so the Prophet ﷺ was sent there to complete, okay, the good manners. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us that لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that indeed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam you have an excellent example. You have an excellent example لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, for the one who hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day. طيب, one thing, so one of the things that we see here is that as leaders, as role models, as parents, okay, it's important for us to be examples, okay, for those below us, or those who are next to us, or for every single person here who's Muslim. When you are outside and you are dealing with people, yani the best da'wah that you can do is just the way you act. And that's why this topic is so important, okay, because you can actually attract someone to the masjid or to the deen just by good khuluq. And you can do the exact opposite by bad khuluq. And we've seen that so many times. We've seen that so many times. Just a few weeks ago, there was a sister who contacted a brother, and he told me that she's been Muslim for 6 years, but she didn't go to the masjid because she was treated bad. 6 years she's been a Muslim, okay, and she hasn't been to the masjid because she was treated bad when she came. And people gave her a bad attitude, and they didn't help her, and so it pushed her away for 6 years. Alhamdulillah, she was able to come back to the masjid and with good akhlaq, she liked it and she enjoyed it. So you can see now, you can, with your bad akhlaq, you can actually push someone away from the masjid. And so even as parents, and here's the thing, subhanAllah, that makes parenting so difficult. What makes parenting so difficult is that now that you have a child, you have to fix yourself. So many times, you know, your child is growing, and then you realize you don't want him to do something. But what's the problem? You do it yourself. صح? And so, مثلا, you don't want your child to be on the phone all day, but you're on the phone all day. You don't want your child, مثلا, to throw his clothes on the floor. But you, and so what happens, you see that you have to actually fix yourself. You have to fix yourself. And so we always start with ourselves. And one of the most, my favorite lines of poetry that, I remember hearing this in when we were studying Arabic, is this, these lines by, I believe, is Al-Mutanabbi. They're very nice lines. And he's talking about this tawus. Anybody know what tawus is? A tawus? What's a tawus? Huh? A bird? What kind of bird? Huh? If you go to the Calgary Zoo, you see one sometimes, if you're lucky. Huh? Peacock, right? So he says, مَشَى الطَّاوُوسُ يَوْمًا بِعْوِجَاجٍ. So one day, this tawus, he started walking بِعْوِجَاج. Al-i'wijaj يعني is like crookedness. Uh-huh. فَقَلَّدَ شَكْلَ مَشْيَتِهِ بَنُوهُ. So his little, the little peacocks behind him, his kids, okay, they started doing the same thing. فَقَلَّدَ شَكْلَ مَشْيَتِهِ بَنُوهُ. فَقَالَ عَلَى مَا تَخْتَلُونَ. So he asked them, the father asked them, why are you guys walking like this? قَالُوا بَدَأْتَ بِهِ وَنَحْنُ مُقَلِّدُوهُ. You started with it, so we're just copying you. وَنَحْنُ مُقَلِّدُوهُ. فَخَالِفْ سَيْرَكَ الْمُعْوَجَّ وَعْدِلْ فَإِنَّا إِنْ عَدَلْتَ مُعَدِّلُوهُ. So now they're telling him fix your crooked walking, okay? فخالف سيرك المعوجة وعدل فإن إن عدلت معدلوه. If you fix it, we will fix it. صح؟ This is how our children are, right? You know, you cannot tell them don't smoke and you're smoking. You stop smoking and then they'll stop smoking. You start coming to salah, they'll start coming to salah, right? فخالف سيرك المعوجة وعدل فإن إن عدلت معدلوه. أما تدري أبانا كل فرع. So they're saying, oh father, don't you realize that every little one, okay, أما تدري أبانا كل فرع يجاري بالخطاء من أدبوه. He follows the footsteps of those who discipline him. That's how it works. وينشأ ناشئ الفتيان منا على ما كان عوده أبوه. And the little one of us, he grows up, okay, exactly how his father raised him or showed him. تمام. And so being a role model is really important, whether you're a father, mother, grandfather, uncle, whoever you are, a leader in your community, it's very important to be good role models. And this is really the main goal of this. طيب, we go now to line three. طيب, we go line to line three. He says now, وَبَعْدُهَا كَأَحْسَنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ يَرْقَى بِهَا صَاحِبُهَا الْمَرَاقِ. طيب, وَبَعْدُ, where do you hear this all the time? وَبَعْدُ, الخطبة, right? أَمَّا بَعْد. صح. And this is just something basically to transfer to a new topic, okay? Like amma ba'd, thumma amma ba'd, okay? So wa ba'du, yani as for what follows, okay? Moving on to the next topic. Wa ba'du, he says haka ahsan al akhlaqi. Haka. Haka, what's haka mean? Haka. Yani khudh, take. Okay? It means take. Fa haka ahsan al akhlaqi. Okay? So the author is saying to you, here you go, I'm going to give you the best of manners. طبعاً, the list of akhlaq and adab are many. يعني 29-line poem will not be even close to be enough. But he's like, I'm going to give you now, here you go, take أحسن الأخلاق. وهاك أحسن الأخلاق. Here are the best of manners. يرقى بها صاحبها المراقي. Okay? The person who takes these akhlaq, the person who possesses them, صاحب, يعني the one who possesses. In Arabic, when you say صاحب, it doesn't mean friend here. It means the one who possesses something. Like you say, صاحب مال. Okay? The one who possesses money. Okay? So, يرقى بها صاحبها المراقي. يرقى, إيش يعني يرقى؟ يرقى يعني يرتفع. He goes up. He raises himself. Okay? And so just by mere fact that he has these akhlaq, he will be raised. صح؟ And this is taken from the hadith, inshallah, we'll mention in a bit. يرقى بها صاحبها المراقي, the ranks of piety. يرقى بها صاحبها المراقي. So the person who takes these adab and akhlaq and he applies them and now he possesses them, this will raise him. This will raise him in this life and in the hereafter. And so this is kind of the meaning of this line. طيب, طبعا, there is a narration where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, after the battle of Uhud, when his uncle Hamza was killed, radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ was obviously very close to his uncle Hamza, and he was very upset. And so when the Prophet ﷺ saw what they did to him, you know, they mutilated his body. And so when he saw them, he says, as per the narration, he says, "Wallahi la umathilanna bi sab'ina minhum." He was very furious. He said, "I'm going to do this to 70 of them, يعني to, of the mushrikeen." So Jibril, faja'a Jibril. So Jibril came to him with a verse, which is in Surah Al-A'raf, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرَضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And so the ayah, which means يعني خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Al-'afw is basically pardoning or being gracious with somebody. Okay, so خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and enjoin what is right, and turn away from those who are ignorant. So Jibril revealed this ayah to him at that time. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ya Jibril, ma hada? Oh Jibril, what's this? يعني what's this verse?" قال لا أدري. ثم عادة. Jibril says, "I don't know." And then Jibril came back to him. ثم عادة فقال إن الله يأمرك أن تعفو عمن ظلمك. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to pardon those who have wronged you. وتصل من قطعك, and to connect with the ones who have cut you off. وَتُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَكَ, and to give to the one who has not who has cut you or has not given you. تمام. And so this is something, يعني, why I put this ayah, or why I put this this narration, because this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallam, and the word he used here is khudh, take. And wallahu alam, this is where the poet, he got this from. يعني, take these good manners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the same thing here, Surah Al-A'raf. And this, remember, this came down when the Prophet sallam was very angry, and he was in a bad, يعني, he was very emotional because of what happened in Uhud, طبعاً. And he saw his uncle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down with the ayah, خُذِ الْعَفُوْ. Always take the better option. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one that always took the better option. خُذِ الْعَفُوْ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. Okay? And do what is right. Always try to find the best option. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And stay away from those who are ignorant. طبعاً, the poet, he says, يَرْقَى بِهَا صَاحِبُهَا الْمَرَاقِي. Where did he get this from? Okay, he got this from the hadith that we mentioned last week. Inna al-mu'min la yudrik bihusni khuluqihi darajat al-sa'im al-qa'im. So Aisha radiallahu anhu, she mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said that a believer will attain with his good character the rank of the sa'im qa'im. Yani, imagine, this is not the siyam Ramadan. This is not the tahajjud of Ramadan. This is just extra siyam, okay? And that is something that is a high level. And so you can reach that high level just by having good akhlaq. Just by having good akhlaq, you can reach the level of the qa'im sa'im, which is a very high level, and these are from the greatest of good deeds. يَرْقَى بِهَا صَاحِبُهَا الْمَرَاقِي. طيب. And then he says, فَأَوَّلًا. Now it's going to get a bit dense. We have a lot of content now. فَأَوَّلًا, he says, رَاعِي مَعَ اللَّهِ الْأَدَبِ. So now he says, here's what the first thing you have to do when it comes to manners and akhlaq. فَأَوَّلًا رَاعِي مَعَ اللَّهِ الْأَدَبِ. The first thing that you have to observe, رَاعِي, يعني observe, is the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? فَأَوَّلًا رَاعِي مَعَ اللَّهِ الْأَدَبِ. The first thing you have to do is have good adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's good adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, بِتَرْكِ الْإِثْمِ وَبِفِعْلِ مَا وَجَبِ. That's basically it. The first thing you have to do is have good adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that entail? It's basically do what Allah told you to do and stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to stay away from. And this is basically what istiqama is. Al-istiqama, to be steadfast on the straight path, is basically to do what Allah commands you and to stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited you. So the first thing we have to do is have adab and akhlaq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, we said that al-akhlaq, okay, we can break them up in two things. Okay, we have al-akhlaq and adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, and we have al-adab and akhlaq with the creation. And both of them are part of the deen. It's not enough for you to just pray and fast and pay your zakah and go to hajj, and then you are rude to your neighbor, you are rude to your mom, you don't have respect for people, you don't smile. It's not enough. It's not enough, because that's going to end up you wronging people. And remember what we said about the muflis on the Day of Judgment? Al-muflis, the one who goes to the Day of Judgment with good deeds, but they are taken away from him because he wronged others. Because he missed that second part of al-adab and al-akhlaq with the creation. But the first thing is al-adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And that's why, remember, this always comes up. Okay? And people say, oh, you know, what if someone has good akhlaq but he's not a Muslim? What if someone does so much good? Well, he's missed the first most important part, which is al-adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It's absolutely bad adab and bad akhlaq that someone gives you everything you own and then you disregard them. Yani, Allah gives these people everything. Allah gives everybody everything. And then a group of people decide to say, oh, this is not from Allah. This is from us. Isn't that the worst of adab? The worst of akhlaq? And so, the first thing is al-adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is two things, we said. بِتَرْكِ الْإِثْمِ وَبِفِعْلِ مَا وَجَبْ. Okay? By leaving al-ithm, sin, okay? And to do what Allah commanded you. It's very basic. Yani, that's basically our religion. Okay? When the Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him, قُلِّي فِي الْإِسْلَامِ قَوْلًا. Tell me something in Islam that if I ask you, if you tell me, I don't need to ask anybody else. He said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then stay steadfast on that. Yani, have the conviction that you really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then just do what He tells you. ثم استقم. Stay on the straight path until you meet him. Until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things. Okay? Is to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us and to leave what he prohibited us. And subhanAllah, sometimes like we say, oh, you know, like it's tough. You know, this makes my life hard. But subhanAllah, like you will see, and you have to, we have to believe this, that by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, it's gonna improve our life. It's not just something you do for the akhirah. No, it will improve your life in this life. And you have to believe that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu, reply. Reply, istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, O believers, respond to Allah and his messenger when he calls you to that which gives you life. The sharia is here to give you life. When you follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's supposed to give you life. It's supposed to improve your life. It's supposed to raise you. Not just in the akhirah, but in this life as well. So we have to have that mentality. Don't ever think that by obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're lowering yourself. It's exact opposite. It's exact opposite. It's actually raising you in this life and in the hereafter. طيب, then he says, now we start with the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in a nutshell, it's doing what he tells you and then to stay away from that which he prohibits you from. But now he starts talking about some of the ibadat qalbiyya. So in our deen, we have a lot of ibadat that you do them, يعني it's an action. Like what? As-salah. What else? What's a ibadah that you do with your يعني with your limbs? You give zakah, صح? What else? So many things. So many ibadat are actually, you do them, it's an action. But a lot of them, and from the most important ibadat, are ibadat al-qalb. The types of worship that are in the heart. And nobody can see except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you can pray, you can pray your zakah, you can do your hajj. But if there's something wrong inside, then maybe all that doesn't count. And maybe some of it is deficient. And so from the first adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from the most important is husn al-dhan. So he says, وَحُسْنِ ظَنٍ وَتَوَكُّلٍ رَجَى حُبٍ وَتَوْحِيدٍ وَمَنْ خَافَ نَجَى. We have six of them here. We have six adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, six acts of worship, and طبعاً each one of these is a lecture by itself. So we don't have time to go deep into them, but inshallah we'll try to cover some important points for each one of them. So he starts with حُسْنِ الظَّن. طبعاً حُسْنِ الظَّن, what's حُسْنِ الظَّن? I'm sure you've heard this before. You when you insult someone, they say, have husn al-dhan of me. Have husn al-dhan of me. Have husn al-dhan of that person. What's husn al-dhan? To have good thoughts of someone, صح? To think good of someone. هذا هو حسن الظن. حسن الظن with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is such a crucial part of a person's iman. Right? Because remember, you have a group of people who had too much husn al-dhan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he tells us to ask him for guidance, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. He says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ, they had absolutely no husn al-dhan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you'll see that those people, they always think of Allah as some angry God. Like he's just waiting to punish them. Tamam? And so, this is not how a believer is. A believer has husn al-dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you have another group who thinks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani is just yani love, just love, love, love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives everything, do whatever you want, you know. And that's another extreme, right? When you are basically deceiving yourself and you're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets you do whatever you want. No. Husn al-dhan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right in the middle. Okay? And so husn al-dhan is to think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the other ibadat that we're going to mention here, okay, they all depend on having husn al-dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we talk about tawakkul, okay, to have tawakkul in Allah, don't you have to have husn al-dhan? Yani, shouldn't you be able to have good, you have to think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hub wa tawheed wa al-khawf. Yani, if you have just khawf without husn al-dhan, خلاص you're destroyed. فحسن الظن is a very important aspect of adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually it's very bad manners to think bad of Allah. You know, sometimes, and this counts in everything. Think about your dua. And I bet you that most of us do it and we don't recognize it. How many times you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in your heart you're not sure if it's going to happen? But that's su'ul dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are asking Allah, who can make anything happen, but when you're asking Him, you have shak in your heart. Isn't that su'ul dhan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't that bad adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so from good adab is when you ask Allah, ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. When you ask Allah, ask Him and you have full yaqeen. Yeah, and you're asking Him and you know it's going to happen. You have full yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gonna do it. In the famous hadith Qudsi, where? There's a Hyundai Sonata blocking the parking. If it's yours, inshallah, move it. Barakallahu feek. The famous hadith Qudsi that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ana 'inda dhanni 'abdi bi," that I am as my slave expects of me. Yeah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am exactly what my slave, my abd, expects of me. In another narration that I mentioned here, he says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am as what my slave expects of me. إِنْ ظَنَّ بِي خَيْرًا فَلَهُ. If he has good thoughts of me, if he thinks good of me, then he will get that good. Okay? وَإِنْ ظَنَّ شَرًّا فَلَهُ. And if he expects bad, and that's what he will get. تمام؟ And so, it's a trap of shaitan. Now, you know, when we're in a good state, things are going well, you know, it's easy to think good of Allah. But when someone, مثلا, is in a bad state, maybe he's going through a rough time, maybe he's done a lot of sins, it's easy for shaitan to come in and say, خلاص, you're doomed. Allah will never forgive you. Allah will never do this. Don't even bother asking Allah. Allah will not answer your dua. But this is a trap of shaitan. This is a trap of shaitan. And so even when you are in the lowest place, you should think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you've done a big sin, you should expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not that, I know.
It's blocking the garage door of the vehicle.
Yeah, if you have a Hyundai Sonata, it's blocking the garage door of the bakery, of Delicious, inshallah. If it's your car, please remove it. Barakallahu feek. Or nobody gets their dough or their... طيب. طيب. What we're saying that, yes, so when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you always have to have husn al-dhan. You always have to have husn al-dhan. طبعاً, don't deceive yourself and say that, oh, I can sin as much as I want and Allah will forgive me. No, that's another extreme. But whenever you commit something bad, have husn al-dhan that Allah will forgive you. And whenever you want something, have husn al-dhan that Allah will give it to you. When you ask Him for something, have husn al-dhan. So husn al-dhan is something, يعني a major adab that we, when dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we go to tawakkul. So he says, وَحُسْنِ ظَنٍ وَتَوَكُّلْ. What is tawakkul? I mean, I don't think we have to define it. What's tawakkul? Now from the sisters, nobody's answering today. Huh? وَإِشِ التَّوَكُّلْ. مَا هُوَ التَّوَكُّلْ? To trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, this is an act of worship. We never think of it like that. But التوكل على الله is an act of worship. And طبعاً, it's easy to have توكل when we are, you know, prosperous and having a good time and things are easy. And we claim we have توكل. But when is توكل really tested? When is توكل really tested? توكل is really tested when you're going through difficulty, right? And when you realize that, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There's nothing in your power. You cannot do anything about your situation except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, but what's the most important thing about tawakkul? Is that yes, you rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but first what? You tie your camel, as the Prophet ﷺ said. You tie your camel and then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tie your camel and then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have husn al-dhan of Allah, can you have good tawakkul of Allah? You cannot. And so, the precursor of having good tawakkul of Allah to be able to fully put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. right? You know, like sometimes we are in situations where we don't have any other choice. You know, one brother came to me today, he said, I'm losing my job in a few months, and you know, I have a wife and this, I'm basically gonna be homeless in a few months. I said, no, have husn al-dhan and have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, I told him, have husn al-dhan that to expect a better salary and a better job. Why not? Yani, this is what our deen teaches us. When something, you're going through a difficulty, don't think negative. Don't be pessimistic. Have tafa'ul. Be optimistic. This is part of our deen. And actually, say alhamdulillah and hope for something better. Yani, have that conviction in your heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you something better. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am what my slave thinks of me. So if you think Allah is going to give you a better situation, bi-idhnillah you will get it. And if you expect that Allah is going to give you a bad situation, then maybe He will give you that. And so you always have to have that husn al-dhan. And then when you have that husn al-dhan, the tawakkul is not hard. You rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas, you do your job. Yani, for that brother, he searches resume, he sends. And khalas, you basically, you're like, you know, I fully submit to Allah. And tawakkaltu ala Allah. Because there's nothing else you can do. And part of the Muslim psyche is that to believe that, I don't care if you're a graduate of Harvard, if your father is the president, if Allah doesn't want you to get that risk, you will not get it. And if Allah wants you to get that risk, you will get it. This is part of the Muslim psyche and psychology. طيب, so he says, وَحُسْنِ ظَنِّن وَتَوَكُّلٍ. Now he talks about raja. Okay? طبعاً, many narrations about tawakkul. Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَهُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. Okay? Umar ibn Khattab, he says, I heard the Prophet say that if you truly depended on Allah, if you truly put your tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will provide for you just like He provides for the bird. The birds, they leave in the morning empty stomach and they come back full. Yani, full tawakkul. If you had real tawakkul, then that's what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with you like that. In another, of course, the famous verse in Surah At-Talaq, and it's interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this ayah in Surah At-Talaq, one of the most, I guess, difficult situations that a person can go through. It's very emotional. It's difficult. For those of you who have gone through it, it's a difficult moment, right? The person feels like, you know, the world is over, you know, they've gone in such a low place. And it's very difficult on a person emotionally. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Talaq, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will find a way for him. Okay, but not just that. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And He will provide him from places that he couldn't expect. يعني, he didn't expect that. That's part of tawakkul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and husn al-dhan. But then He says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. This is an amazing verse because He says, whoever has full tawakkul on Allah, then Allah is enough for him. It's a guarantee. It's jawab shart. That if you have tawakkul in Allah, Allah yakfiq. Allah is enough for you. And that's what it means when we say, hasbi Allahu ni'mal wakil. That Allah is enough for me. And He's the best of protectors. And so whoever has full tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, fahuwa hasbu. Allah is enough for him. You don't need anything else. Yakfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for you. طيب, then we go to الرجاء. What's الرجاء? الرجاء is hope. تمام? And so one of the most important acts of ibadah of the heart is hope. Having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And the opposite of hope is despair. And so part of our adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to always have hope. Right? And then we're going to talk about hope. And we're going to talk about love, and we're going to talk about hope and love and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that the believer has to balance between those. And so he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon love. And he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon fear as well. Okay? Upon love and fear. Yani, you do this because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you also do this because you fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And you balance those with hope. You balance those with hope. And so you do what Allah tells you to do, But at the same time, you don't know if it's accepted or not, so you have that hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. And Ibn Qayyim, he gives the example of like a bird, okay? One wing is hope, one wing is love, and the other wing is fear, and the head is like hope. Hope is what guides that person to find the balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. Surely those who have believed and those who emigrated and those who struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَرْجُونَ, they hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And so part of the adab of the believer is to always hope for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. No matter what you're going through, you always have to have that hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And you know, when you look into kind of, I guess, secular psychology, they say that to have hope, you first have to believe that you can actually change your situation. Okay? And that's what this deen tells you to do. Again, you have to believe that your situation can get better. And the second part is to have the resources. And what better resource than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? And so when a believer understands that yes, I can change my situation. And when you read the Quran and the Sunnah, there's so many examples. Tamam? And then he realizes that Allah is with him. Allah is the one that's there to support him. Then inshallah, there's no reason why that person should despair. There's no reason why that person should despair. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Okay, don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My rahmah surpasses everything else. Right? So the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني, it's only يعني, one small portion that's on this earth. There's still a huge portion of rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not used on his slaves. Right? And so the person should always have a hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a narration on Anas radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon a young man who was dying. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, how do you feel? He said, I have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Messenger of Allah. But I fear my sins. I fear my sins. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, these two things, hope and fear, do not coexist in the heart of a person in a situation like this, but Allah will give them that which he hopes for and keep him safe from that which he fears. Tamam? And so the Prophet ﷺ here is giving him good news that if you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nothing for you to worry about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that which you expect of him. And remember, this all goes back to husnul dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these acts of worship, they all actually stem from having husnul dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next we go to the next ibadah, which is hub, love, right? I remember asking one of my teachers in one of our tawheed classes, I said to him, like, do you have to worship Allah upon love? Because he said, when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon love and fear. Yani fear that if you don't do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you, and love because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, the complete act of worship is when you do them with both. And so part of when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do it out of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it that we love because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And there are some people who take others than Allah, or they take others equal to Allah, and they love them the same love that they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. The true believers, okay, they have the most love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the true believers love Allah even more. يعني their most love goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Then we go to al-khawf. And we kind of discussed khawf as well. That khawf and al-khawf wal-hub, they kind of go, okay, they go together. So al-khawf is what? Al-khawf is fear, okay? So he says, وَحُسْنِ ظَنٍّ وَتَوَكُّلٍ رَجَى حُبٍّ وَتَوْحِيدٍ وَمَنْ خَافَ نَجَى. We skip tawheed, we'll go to that. Al-khawf is fear. And so we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we fear his punishment. Tamam? And so this is part of the ibadah. Now, some people, it's easier for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear. And that's not a problem. But really, the most complete way of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is out of Love and fear for, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am. So there's a balance. There's a balance of love and fear. Okay, and so when we do the acts of worship, we try to do them from both angles. From both angles. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. طبعاً, this is in the Surah Ali Imran, when they were in the battle, and the people said to them, that the people have gathered around you, and the people are coming to attack you. So be afraid of them. إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Okay, the believers were being told that you should fear the people. Okay, and from the attributes of the believer is that they only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that this was from shaitan. It was shaitan, okay, trying to use his allies to put for you to fear him. But who you should you truly fear is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Okay, and when they neglected those calls and they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased their iman. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. That it increased them in iman when they actually feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, because the true believer knows that true victory is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It doesn't matter if they're twice as much as you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on your side, then inshallah you are victorious. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. It increased their iman when they realized that it's Allah who really deserves to be feared. And then Allah subhanahu, and then they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. Is sufficient for us. So that's al-khawf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. In Surah Ar-Rahman. And whoever has the khawf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the stature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for him are two gardens. This is a promise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman. And also in Surah An-Nazi'at, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The one who fears standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day when he has to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he prevents his nafs from just following its desires, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then his ultimate destination is al-jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people. طيب. So now, and then he mentions tawheed. طبعاً التوحيد. التوحيد is basically the essence of this deen. التوحيد is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. صح؟ And this is from the fundamentals of iman. Oh, okay. And so we have at-tawheed al-rububiyyah, that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Rabb, the one who sustains, the one who gives us, the one who provides for us and for us and the non-Muslims and everything on this earth. Okay, so we worship him as the Rabb. And we worship him as ilah, as the ilah. So tawheed al-uluhiyyah, that everything, every kind of worship has to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That nobody deserves worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also worship him through his names and attributes. Tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat. That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his amazing attributes. Okay, and we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his amazing names, with his beautiful names and attributes. And طبعا, there's many ayat in the Quran. The common one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Bayyina, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. The only thing they were commanded with is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with ikhlas. لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاء. On the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is deenul of Ibrahim, which is the straight path of tawheed. Okay. طيب. Then we go to, طبعاً, from the amazing things of tawheed is that the person who dies on tawheed, the Prophet salam said that he will enter Jannah. The Prophet salam said, whoever dies and his last words are La ilaha illallah, دخل الجنة سبحان الله. And of course, yeah, all of us, we try to be smart and say, خلاص, you know, I'll just make sure I memorize this, and when I'm about to die, I'll make sure that whoever's next to me recite it to me and I'll say it. Like for those of you who've seen people pass away, it's not easy. Yeah, and for some people, you tell them, say La ilaha, they don't say it. Because you cannot say La ilaha illallah on your deathbed if you didn't practice that in your life. And so for you to be able to say this kalima, La ilaha illallah, you need to be able to practice it. You have to believe it. Yani, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, he saw the Prophet, he lived with him, he even defended him, but he couldn't say it, subhanAllah. And the Prophet is there talking to him, like, just say the word. And he couldn't say it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives you that tawfiq. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who keeps people steadfast to be able to say that word. And you're only able to say that when you live by that kalima of tawheed. طيب, now we go to line 6. Our goal is to finish up to 8. Yalla, let's do that. Bismillah. So now we go to line 6. So now we're done with the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's many other things, but these are kind of the most important ones. And we mentioned 6 of them, صح? We said حسن ظن وتوكل ورجاء. And what else? حب وتوحيد والخوف. ومن خاف نجا. نجا يعني he's successful. Okay? ومن خاف will be safe and successful. Now he goes to the adab with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we go to line 6. He says وقر نبيه وعظم سنته. So now we're talking about the adab with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? The first thing is, he says وقر نبيه. Al-waqar is basically when you like when you kind of glorify somebody and you give them respect. Okay? Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. Okay? And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet وَيُوَقِّرُوهُ, and they give him that status that he deserves. So it says وَقِّرْ نَبِيَّهُ, revere him. Maybe that's the best translation that you could use, is to revere somebody. يعني to give them that the respect and status that they deserve. Okay? Because sometimes we, maybe a bit more the newer generation, when they speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they speak of him like a normal person. يعني ما في تعظيم, ما في احترام of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik rahimahullah, he was from the people who was known for his respect for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the point that he would never talk about a hadith unless he had wudu and he was dressed well. يعني this is from the ihtiram that Imam Malik had for the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even they mentioned that when he was on his deathbed, Imam Malik, and he couldn't get up. يعني he was towards the end of his life and he couldn't get up, and people are coming to ask for hadith because he was like from the most knowledgeable of his time. And so he said, okay, help me get up. They said, what do you mean help you get up? He said, help me get up so I can make wudu and dress. To dress well, you want hadith, I have to. Yeah, there's respect for the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so we need to respect the Prophet ﷺ. وَقْرَ نَبِيَّهُ, revere his Prophet. وَعَظِّمْ سُنَّتَهُ, and glorify his sunnah. Right? Sometimes people, when they talk about the deen, Quran is up there, على عين والرأس. But when it comes to the sunnah, it's like, they pick and choose. They pick and choose, oh, this is good, this is nice, this is, no, I don't like this, this doesn't work with my lifestyle. No. If the hadith is sahih, okay, then you need to respect the hadith. You need to follow the hadith. You need to glorify the hadith. And you have to understand that this hadith only makes your life better. Whether you see it or not, whether the benefit is mentioned or not. Tamam? And so when there's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, or there's something mentioned in the hadith, then we listen to it and we follow it and we have that belief that this is good for me. Tamam? Sometimes, للأسف الشديد, okay, unfortunately, we follow a sunnah after we find out, others speaking about it. Yeah? Like مثلاً, like from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is المسواك. مثلاً, okay, to do the miswak. And so many people, modern people, you hear them and they say, oh, miswak this, what's up with this miswak? You look like it's very unprofessional, madri-ish. Then, okay, and this is a true story. Just a few months ago, I saw an ad on somewhere on Facebook or something. They're non-Muslims selling miswak and then mentioning the benefits of miswak, right? And then Muslims commenting, oh, we have this in our deen. And the guy probably never used in his life. Tamam? And so something that we need to have conviction in our heart that whatever the Prophet ﷺ said, sahih hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, just you have to have that belief that this is good for you and this is true. And you don't have to wait for some science to tell you it's true. Yeah? The famous example is the hadith of مثلاً, the fly. Right? People hear the hadith of the fly, that when a fly comes on your on your water or your food, that you're supposed to, what are you supposed to do? Huh? Dip it in, right? So logically, many people are like, one guy told me, he said, what kind of madness is this? This is not deen. Yeah, this is illogical, right? And then some scientist comes up and tells you, no, yeah, you should do that because part of the cure is in the other wing of the fly. So when you put it in, it takes out the microbes or whatever it is. And now they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know? No, we should believe in it before we see that. Right? That's part of iman. That's part of iman. وَعَظِّمْ سُنَّتَهُ قَدِّمْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ الْوَرَىٰ مَحَبَّتَهُ يعني, there should be nobody that you love more than the Prophet ﷺ. Right, and we're going to talk, inshallah, an incident that happened with Umar ibn Khattab. So when it comes to adab with the Prophet ﷺ, three things you should keep in mind. First of all, revere him. Okay, وَقِّرْ نَبِيَّهُ. Respect him, revere him, put him in his place, the place that he deserves, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, and we know that on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ is going to have al-maqam al-mahmud, right? The highest place that a human being can have. And we make dua for the Prophet ﷺ after adhan, right? After the adhan, we always make dua for the Prophet ﷺ for that status. So first of all, revere him. وَقِرْ نَبِيَّهُ. Second of all, عَظِّمْ سُنَّتَهُ. Okay? Glorify his sunnah. And for the parents here, make sure you do that in your house. يعني, put the sunnah, give the sunnah the respect it deserves. Okay? Don't treat sunnah like something like, يعني, it's cute if you do it, يعني, if you don't do it, ما في مشكلة. No, make it part of your life. And let your children know that this is what's going to make you a better person and what's going to make you successful in this life. And then place his love first. The love of the Prophet ﷺ comes first. طيب. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, عن أنس رضي الله عنه, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. No, none of you has full iman. None of you believes till I am dearer to him than his father and his child and all of mankind. And so we ask ourselves, is the Prophet ﷺ the most beloved person to us? Okay, it's easy to say yes. Yes, he is. But how do we know? What's the litmus test? When the Prophet ﷺ said, do this, and then my father says, do this, which one do I follow? When the Prophet ﷺ says, don't do this, okay, and my desire and my hawa says, do this, which one do I follow? This is the test that you have to, okay, ask yourself, do you really put the Prophet ﷺ first? Do you love the Prophet ﷺ first? Uh-huh. So one time, Umar al-Khattab was walking with the Prophet ﷺ. And so Umar al-Khattab, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, O Messenger of Allah, you are dearer to me than everything except my own self. Yani, I love you more than anything except myself. Yani, I love myself more than you. Tamam? Yani, subhanAllah, Umar was a very honest man. He's a very honest man. So he just told the Prophet ﷺ, I love you more than anything except myself. So the Prophet ﷺ says, no, by him in whose hands my soul is, you will not have complete iman, لا تؤمن, okay, until I'm more beloved to you than your own self. The Prophet ﷺ was talking to Umar al-Khattab, that you will never have full iman until I'm more beloved to you than your own self. Okay? And so then Umar came back to him, he says, now, O Prophet of Allah, you are dear to me than my own self. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, Al-ana ya Umar. Now you have attained full iman. Now you've completed your iman. That now that the Prophet is more beloved to you than even your own self. Okay? So part of adab with the Prophet ﷺ is to love him ahead of everybody else. Everything else. Okay? طيب. Next we have, okay, we're almost done, inshallah. He says, وَبَرَّ وَالِدَيْكَ. By the way, the first day is the most intense. Inshallah, the rest of them are a bit easier. Number 7, he says, وَبَرَّ وَالِدَيْكَ وَلْتُطِعْهُمَا. So now we talked about the adab with Allah. We talked about the adab with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What comes after them? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. What's next? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Okay? And so the parents come next. So the poet, he says, وَبَرَّ وَالِدَيْكَ وَلْتُطِعْهُمَا. تَفُزْ وَصِلْ أَيَا بُنَيَّ الرَّحِمَا. So now we go next. What's next in line, in order, is having adab and being dutiful to your parents. Being dutiful to your parents. And this topic, is in of itself, it needs a whole lecture or lectures. Okay? بِرِّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it right after himself. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. Not to worship anybody except Allah. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Okay, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And to have ihsan with your parents. What if they're non-Muslim? Does that give you the right to to not be good to them? Even if they're non-Muslim. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in several ayat in the Quran, even if they're non-Muslim, you still respect them. And you still treat them with kindness. You still treat them with kindness and dignity. And so he says, وَبَرَّ وَالِدَيْكَ وَلْتُطِعْهُمَا and obey them. And obey them. طيب, what if your parents are not good to you? Huh? Yani, do they have to be good parents for you to obey them? Even if your parents are difficult for you, maybe that's your test in life. You still have to be good to them. And especially when they grow. Especially if you are lucky enough to be with them when they grow, that is the time when you really need to be good to them. Right? The verse that we mentioned, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your Lord has decreed that to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship none other than Him, and honor your parents. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Then He says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. If one of them or both of them, okay, they grow in old age and you're with them, okay, then never say to them, أُفْ. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And subhanAllah, unfortunately, many of us, we say worse than أُفْ. Yani, your father tells you, go take out the garbage. Do you have to say uff for you to be sinful? No, just the fact that you don't like it. Or you say, oh, I'll do it later. This is a sin. It's a major sin. It's a major sin to disobey your parents. Okay? So Allah subhanahu says, don't even say uff to them. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمُ أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Yani, don't even like neglect them. Don't neglect them. And so, that's the least. So anything higher is even worse. Yani, some people yell at them. Some people raise their voice. Some people swear at their parents. Some people don't visit their parents. Don't talk to them. Yani, this is from the worst, from the major sins. Tamam? And so after the adab with Allah and the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to be good to our parents. Okay, before we even go to the neighbors and we go to everybody else, the parents come right after that. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, رَغِمَ أَنْفِ امْرُؤٍ. The same thing. May he be humiliated. Okay? They said, who, O Prophet Allah? Who are you making dua against? He says, مَنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ عِنْدَ الْكِبَرِ أَحَدَهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Anybody who was able, had the opportunity to live with their parents when they're old, and he doesn't enter Jannah. Look how the Prophet ﷺ phrased it. Meaning that just the mere fact that you're good to your parents, they reach the old age and you're good to them. Why specifically old age? Anybody know? Why specifically old age? When is it harder to be good to your parents? When they're young and you're the one that's weak and they're the one that's in charge? Or when you are the one in charge and you have your own life and they're older? And you know, when people grow up, they become more difficult to deal with. And subhanAllah, people when they grow, they become like almost like children, subhanAllah. You know? And so it's difficult, right? And so the old age is when it's difficult. And part of this culture is that when your parents are old, what do you do with them? You put them in the senior home. Such a bad yani, adab of the parents. The ones that raise your whole life, you throw them in a senior home. SubhanAllah. And so that's not part of our deen. Part of our deen is to take care of our parents. Especially when they grow old. And they raise you and they give you everything and they put up with you for all your life and then you're going to throw them. Okay, so the Prophet said, make dua against the person because just by being good to them at that age, from this hadith we know that you enter Jannah. Just for being good to your parents at this age, then automatically you enter Jannah. So the Prophet says, may be humiliated. The person who has this amazing opportunity to enter Jannah, and he doesn't take it. He's not dutiful to his parents. The other thing is salat al-rahim. Okay, to be good to your kin. So we talked about adab with Allah, with the Prophet ﷺ, with the parents. Now we go to the kin. Who are the kin? Who's al-rahim? Huh? Who are the kin? What's kin? Huh? Your relatives. Your relatives, those are your kin. Tamam? And sometimes the relatives are the most difficult people to deal with. Sometimes the most difficult people to deal with. And very easy for them to cut you off. And very easy for you to cut them off. You will find any reason to cut them off. He says here, وَصِلْ أَيَا بُنَيَّ الرَّحِمَةَ وَصِلْ أَيَا بُنَيَّ الرَّحِمَةَ. Be good to your kin. In a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا الرَّحْمَانِ قال الله أنا الرحمن. This is in Hadith Qudsi, that I am the most merciful. Okay? And then he talked about the rahim. The rahim is what? The womb. The womb of the mother, where the yani where the baby is. So he says, and this rahim, okay, comes from the word ar-Rahman. So Allah subhanahu says that this rahim comes from the word ar-Rahman. Okay, laha isman min ismi. Okay? So then Allah subhanahu says, man wasalaha wasaltuhu. Whoever enjoins it, okay, I shall enjoin him. Yani whoever stays connected with it, I will stay connected with them. وَمَنْ قَطَعَهَا قَطَعْتُهُ. And whoever cuts the tie of kinship, I will cut him off. And so ar-Rahim has a very high status. You think of your aunt and your cousins and all everybody. Tamam? And Salat ar-Rahim, as one of the ulama, he said, Salat ar-Rahim is not to reciprocate good akhlaq to your kin. And not because your kin calls you an Eid, you call them an Eid. He says the real Salat al-Rahim is when your kin cuts you and then you connect it. When they cut you off and you reconnect it. Your brother cuts you off or your sister cuts you off and you do the effort to connect that Rahim. This is true Salat al-Rahim. And Salat al-Rahim has one of the most amazing benefits. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, Man ahabba أن يبسط له في رزقه وينسى له في أثره فليصل رحمه. Look at this amazing hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever desires a lot of rizq, yeah, you know, sometimes we go in every direction to increase our rizq, but this is such an amazing way of getting rizq. The Prophet ﷺ said whoever wants his rizq to be increased and prolonged, okay, and he wants to live a long life, okay, then he should maintain good ties with his blood relatives. And so when a person connects the rahim, when a person stays connected with his family, with his relatives, okay, out of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an act of ibadah, okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase in his rizq. And the opposite is true. Sometimes you'll see that your rizq, you know, there's no barakah in it, or your rizq is being cut. Then ask yourself, am I cutting some relatives off? Are there relatives that I'm cutting off? Because this could be the reason. This could be the reason. And the last one that we want to cover today, he says, بَجِلْ كَبِيرًا وَرْحَمِ الصَّغِيرًا وَسَاعِدِ الضَّعِيفَ وَالْفَقِيرًا. طيب, now we go now to, we are opening our circle wider now. So now we talked about adab with Allah, adab with the Prophet, adab with the parents, adab with the rahim, the relatives. Now we go to, okay, he says now, بَجِّلْ كَبِيرًا وَرْحَمِ الصَّغِيرًا. Respect the elderly and show mercy towards the young people. وَسَاعِدِ الضَّعِيفَ وَالْفَقِيرًا. You know, subhanAllah, like when you just read, you know, these basic things about our deen, you know, if somebody just looked at our deen, just about these basic things, yani there's absolutely no reason why nobody will enter this deen. But unfortunately, the way our deen is presented outside, is this deen is just about, like, you know, stoning someone and cutting their head off, and you know, just the hudud. You know, subhanAllah, when people explain, when they put Islam on the news, etc., they just talk about the hudud, right? The capital punishment, like that's the deen. But they forget to mention, you know, this is the crux of the deen. You know, the hudud, yes, you need hudud. But the main part of the deen is this. Look at these amazing things. Bajjil kabiran, respect the elder. Show mercy to the young people. Respect the older people. Yani a person, an older person comes and they need to sit, you get up and you let them sit. Sah. When you later we'll talk about when speaking, you let the older speak first. When you're eating, you let the older one go there. When there's an older person, you don't speak. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, son of Umar al-Khattab, one time he was a young kid, yani, and he was in the gathering of the Sahaba. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was asking a question. He said, he's saying that the believers are like a tree. But he's asking them, what kind of tree? Nobody would answer. Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, he says, I knew the answer. But out of respect to Umar is there, like his father is there, Abu Bakr is there, you know, the other Sahaba are there. He didn't want to, out of respect to the elders, right? And then after somebody eventually said it, then he told his father, you know, oh father, you know, I knew the answer, but I didn't want to say it. He said, why didn't you say it? Because, you know, the father wants the son to make him proud. But he said, why didn't you say it? He said, because, you know, like I was shy, because there was older people than me. So this is our deen, yeah. This is our deen. And then it says, Sa'ad al-Da'if, help the weak. And subhanAllah, as we mentioned before, if you open just the Quran, you will see it's full of that. Okay? وَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Okay? وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. The one who asked, don't deny them. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about sadaqah, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَدَقٍ يَتْبَعُ أَذَى. When he's talking about a sadaqah, just saying a nice word to somebody, قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ, a good word, is better than someone giving sadaqah and then hurting them and reminding them that, you know, I gave you sadaqah and I helped you. Just a قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ. That's all part of our deen. Okay? Helping the poor and the faqir. So, from honoring the elders, the Prophet ﷺ told us, he says, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. The Prophet ﷺ said, very clear, an older man came to talk to the Prophet ﷺ, and the people were hesitant to make room for him. An older man came in to talk to the Prophet ﷺ, and people didn't make space for him. Out of respect, they should have done that. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, he's not one of us. لَيْسَ مِنَّا. He's not one of us who does not have mercy on our young and does not respect our elders. Okay, so part of our deen, yes, pray, do your zakah, be good to your parents, but also you need to have respect for the elders. Not just your grandpa or your uncle, anybody that's older than you, have respect for them. Have respect for them, and also to have mercy on the young people. Right? And so, I mean, this is a bad, something bad culture in our back home, that the children are not, there's no mercy shown to the children. Like a man came to the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw the Prophet ﷺ kiss one of the his children. So he asked the Prophet ﷺ, do you do that? He said, yeah. He said, I have 10 children and I don't kiss any of them. He said, what am I supposed to do for someone who Allah took out all the rahmah from his heart? you have 10 children and you don't have even the mercy to just kiss them on the head. And so part of our deen is to have mercy on the young people, right? Yeah, have mercy on them. Don't treat young children, especially in this time and age, right? They need a rifq. They need rifq. They need to be treated with mercy, with rahmah, because it's very easy for them. Back home, it worked. Back home, it's either your mom or your dad, or your mom or your dad. Yani, there's no running around that. Here, the young people have different avenues to go. And so if you're not going to be gentle and good to them, okay, they will find other role models. And sometimes they will leave the house. And so we have to show mercy to the young people. Right? Show mercy to them. If they're in the halaqah and they're making noise, show mercy to them. Na'am, yes, teach them to respect the masjid, but have mercy towards them. We're almost done. And then he says, of course, to help the weak and the needy. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever relieves a Muslim, this is an amazing hadith, whoever relieves a Muslim of a burden from the burdens of the world, Allah will relieve him of a burden from the burdens of the hereafter. Right? Because sometimes we get selfish. Right? We get selfish. There's an opportunity to help someone, and then we're like, I don't have time, I don't want to do it. This is an opportunity of khair. And not just that, you relieve this person from this difficulty. In this life, Allah will relieve you from a difficulty when you really need it in the hereafter. Right? And whoever covers the faults of a Muslim, Allah will cover his faults. Another one of the adab is to cover the faults of the Muslims. Not just you saw something bad about a Muslim, you spread it. Tamam. When you cover the fault of a Muslim, Allah will cover your fault as well. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. We'll stop here inshaAllah. Sorry, we went a bit over time. Any questions? So alhamdulillah, today we finished lines 1 to 9. Bi'idhnillah, next week we'll cover, I think, 10 to 18 or so. Bi'idhnillah. So just read them over before you come. Any questions before we call it a day? I went a bit longer just because we didn't have a halaqah last week. So, inshallah, you guys benefited. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.